Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 12th of May. The first hour of our program today, the Milwaukee Parental Choice Program. It's known as the Voucher Program. It's been in existence in this city for 20 years. Those who support it believe that it's about giving families more choices in where to send their children to be educated. Those who oppose it see it as the privatization of public education. The program is about to be expanded under several proposals by Governor Walker. He gave an address on Monday in Washington and told a school choice group that before his budget passes in June, it will allow for vouchers in cities across the state, including Green Bay, Beloit, and Racine. It is a move that's expected to be added to his budget proposal before it's brought up for debate next month. We have two perspectives. Actually, we'll have more than two because I think that many of you will have thoughts on this program as well. Bob Peterson is going to join us the first half hour of the show. He is a fifth grade teacher at La Escuela Fratney in Milwaukee, founding editor of Rethinking Schools, and the newly elected president of the Milwaukee Teacher Education Association. Later this hour, Jim Bender, vice president of governmental affairs for School Choice Wisconsin, will be joining us. You are welcome to participate in this discussion all hour. And here's the number you call, 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Our email address is talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Bob Peterson, thank you very much for being with us.
It's my pleasure.
Congratulations on your new position.
Thank you very much.
What would a further expansion of privatization of education, a further expansion of choice do to public schools, particularly in the city where you work?
Well, it will hurt us even more than it's been hurt us in the past. I think that for the state, you know, it's bad for the state budget, and it's bad for our children's education, and it undermines democracy, specifically in Milwaukee. It's over the last 20 years drained over $750 million away from public schools, and it's set up a two-tier school system. The voucher program, which includes over 21,000 kids now, is almost or larger than most of the other major city school systems in our state. And that voucher program, those 21,000 kids, they don't service special needs kids hardly at all. They have the capacity to sort of choose. It's really school choice. It's not parent choice. Even though everybody can become everybody, they can't discriminate as people enter. They don't have to provide services for special needs students, and they easily can counsel out students who are difficult to educate. So you have a system which in the district, 80,000 kids in the public school system with about 19% special needs kids, and then you have 20,000 kids in the voucher school system as it is. It's only 1.5% special needs kids. And the amazing thing is, even within that, the public school kids do better on the only time that test score is released for all the students.
The program, the governor would like to have it expanded to Green Bay, Beloit, and Racine. Do you think he'll be able to do that? Is there enough support for that?
I don't know. I wouldn't have thought that he'd been able to do all that he's done in the last 4 months in terms of attacking the rights of our public sector workers or proposing a budget bill that cuts almost $1 billion from public education, which is a foundation of democracy. So the fact that he's moving that far, I wouldn't be surprised. I hope that the people of the state can talk to their legislators and understand that this program is a disaster for public education. And we can talk more about specifically why that's the case. But it's a drain on money, but it's also public dollars going to private institutions which have virtually no public accountability. And that, for a state like ours, which has a long tradition of open meetings, open records laws, which the voucher schools don't have to adhere to, is a real travesty. If we're going to send public monies to any institution, there should be transparency and accountability. And I think that that's not included in Walker's proposals. It's not been included in the legislation that's about to pass the Assembly. In fact, fact, there's going to be less because the testing is going to be reduced. I hope that people in Green Bay, Beloit, Racine will do the investigative research on this program and understand what it really is.
It started out, as you well know, as a way for lower-income students in Milwaukee to be able to attend private schools. The belief was they would do better, they would perform better. The results have been quite mixed from what I've heard. The test scores are not better, but parents seem to be happier with this. This expansion, and I have heard, and tell me what you have heard about this, is ultimately one that would allow everybody to go to a private school. That's where some people would like to take this within the school choice movement. Do you read it that way as well?
Yeah. Governor Walker has suggested in his budget that there be no income limits, so it's conceivable that the children of Milwaukee millionaires could receive $6,442 next year to help pay for their $20,000 high school tuition at a private university school. That's conceivable. Now, there's a compromise proposal, that's so-called compromise proposal that's been put forth, that to raise the income limits to 300% of the federal poverty level, which would include most of the people in Milwaukee. So it is... The whole notion of this being an experimental program is, and targeted it for low-income students, is is not true. And the real intentions of some of the backers, which we have been talking about for a long time, have been now revealed. For example, one of the main folks, a strategy person for this voucher program, is the Milton and Rose Friedman Foundation. And they likened many years ago vouchers for low-income children to a viable beachhead, a way, quote, to win and hold new ground in a long march to universal school choice. Basically, I'm not saying everybody who supports vouchers agrees with this, but many of the backers, especially the financiers of the political effort behind this, have as their goal the ending of public schools as we know it. And that's something that we as citizens of Wisconsin should be deeply concerned about, because public schools, with all their warts and foibles, are the foundation of our democracy. They're public, they're run by local school boards, they can be improved by local school boards, and let's keep that the way it is.
Please try to understand the minds of those who would like to change that. I'm with you in that, and I am trained to be a teacher. I love schools. I've always loved public schools. I would tend to agree with you. It's sort of a foundation of democracy. But there seem to be enough people who believe that either they're not doing very well, they're not performing at high enough, that they're willing to move into a very different direction, but not knowing exactly what the results would be. Why?
Well, it is absolutely true that our public schools need improvement, and that it's particularly public schools that are in neighborhoods or in communities where there's a high incidence of poverty and other problems are struggling. And I think that teacher unions, that professional organizations, school boards, and the community at large have to really ask hard questions about how to improve those schools. That being said, some of the statements by legislators about how Milwaukee Public Schools is dysfunctional or just broke, it's just a big lie. I mean, even if you take the narrow standard way that we judge schools of scores on the Wisconsin Student Assessment System, the WKCE, which for years, the legislature did not require the school voucher schools to take. And finally, they did. And the results are telling. And this is from the Department of Public Instruction. If you control for the students who have disabilities, that is to say, if you just look at the kids in the Milwaukee Public Schools and in the voucher schools who don't have disabilities, this test scores in mathematics and reading for all grades combined, there's a startling difference. For in mathematics, for kids who scored proficient and advanced is 49.9, 50% of the kids. For the voucher school students, 34.8. In reading, it's for MPS, it's 64.3. For the voucher schools, 55.8. And keep in mind, this is in two very different systems. If a kid misbehaves, acts up in the voucher school, they can be counseled out or thrown out. They have no right to due process. We don't have any records about the number of kids who are suspended or expelled from voucher schools because they're not required to report any of that. In public schools, it's transparent. Kids can appeal, parents can appeal, and the public schools, even if they're, you know, they still have to teach the most difficult kids. And so you would think, under those circumstances, the voucher schools would greatly outscore the public schools, and yet they don't. It's the opposite. So I wish the legislators would be informed by facts. Now, the one thing that the voucher school advocates will say is our graduation rate for the ninth, you know, for the senior high students is much higher. Granted, look at the number of kids that they have in their high schools, a very small, it's a handful, hundreds. And those kids have, you know, if they've gone through their system and they've weaned out the kids who are hard to educate, it's no surprise that more of those kids would graduate. I don't think that's a very convincing argument on the side of the voucher advocates.
Tell me what the teacher qualifications need to be for these voucher schools, Bob. Is there a difference?
Yeah, big difference. You have to have, at this point, as of a couple years ago when the law was changed, you have to have a college degree. Doesn't have to be an education. Doesn't have to be any, you don't have to take any education courses. For a long time, you just had to have a GED. That's a high school equivalency. That finally was changed. But so there's a real difference between public, you know, in the, it's ironic, you know, the federal government and all the legislators saying we have to have high quality teachers under the No Child Left Behind law, which is a federal law. And so they've really raised the standards. You have to be certified in your area of instruction and so on and so forth. I agree with that. But the big exception is made when it comes to the private school sector. And why should that be? Similarly, the administrators who run the schools, only have to have a BA. They don't have to have administrative training. Now, some of them I'm sure do. Some of them are excellent, and same with the teachers. I'm not critical of the individuals in the program, nor am I critical of the parents who choose to send their students. Parents have to do what's best for their kids. But just because it might be good for a parent doesn't mean it's sound social policy. It's not.
How are all these students going to get to school?
How are they going to get to school?
Yeah, will buses be provided for these students? Or?
Well, that's a very interesting thing that most people don't know, which is the voucher students, private school students, receive a certain amount of money. It's $6,442 now, actually, which is less than the average per pupil monies that are spent in the, around the district that's given by the state. That's about $5,300. So that's something to think about in terms of upstate folks or whatever. But it also, the voucher schools get additional forms of assistance in the forms of money from Title I. They get some federal special education revenues, and they get transportation services or funding through the Milwaukee Public Schools. So if there's a bus available in that route, they get to ride that, and that's obviously a cost to the public school. Similarly, if there's not a bus, actually they get another voucher, a transportation voucher, which is above and beyond the amount of money that the state is giving. So there's several ways that money is being taken from the public school funds to support private school children.
Plus, the public schools are losing an enormous amount of money.
Yes. I mean, as $131 million was spent on the voucher program statewide this last year, it's about three-quarters of a billion since the program started. And Milwaukee is particularly hurt by the way the very complicated funding formula exists. Most people say and agree that about $50 million is taken from the public schools or from the taxpayers of Milwaukee to pay for the voucher schools in the city, and the rest of it comes from the general state fund. So all of the state taxpayers are paying for these private schools that aren't subjected to the open meeting and open records laws, that don't have any form of accountability, that don't have standards in terms of standards for teacher qualifications and so on and so forth. So it's something, and it comes at a time when there's a billion-dollar cut in education for this state. It's ironic. The You know, and not only is there a cut, and most people don't know this, but school boards and all local government entities have been prohibited from raising local taxes to cover these cuts. Now, where is there one place in the budget where there's no cap? It's a voucher program. They're going to take off the cap for the numbers. They might expand it to cities around the state. That money, you know, when it comes to privatized schools or private institutions, then there's no cap. Our public dollars can just drain that way. I think the voters of our state need to be aware of this and speak forcefully to their legislators and say, no, we don't want our public monies going to an expanded private school voucher system, either in Milwaukee or in the cities around the state.
We go to phone calls in just one moment. Bob Peterson, our guest, the first half of this program, fifth grade teacher at La Escuela Fratney in Milwaukee, founding editor of a very interesting publication, Rethinking Schools, and he is the newly elected president of the Milwaukee Teacher Education Association. Later this hour, the vice president of governmental affairs for School Choice Wisconsin. 800-486-8655 is our number. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. To your phone calls, Dan in Three Lakes, our first caller. Hi, Dan.
Hi. I've got a couple of questions. I would like to have some more detail about how these voucher schools suck money out of the public school system. In particular, it seems to me if there's a public school bus going someplace and you put another kid on it on his way to the voucher school, that can hardly add anything to the cost of public schools. And I'm also wondering, what are the public teachers? I don't care for Governor Wallace's ham-handed approach to chopping union rights, bargaining rights. But I've been a union man all my life. And all I have to tell you, too, I never went to a public school. I went to school with the Jesuits from high school onward for the next 18 years. But, you know, one of the things we can't do is get rid of poor teachers because of things like tenure and the notion that if anybody's going to get laid off, you have to start with seniority rights. So you get the oldest, we're retaining the oldest, stodgy old so-and-sos, and the youngsters who have some new programs and new abilities and new choices are getting flushed out the door when there has to be a layoff. And as I have seen myself, you walk into a schoolroom today and recognize it. I mean, I'm only 70. You recognize a schoolroom that you walked in today. They're absolutely behind the times.
All right, let's get we have a lot of people on the line.
Sure.
Bob.
Just real quickly, in terms of the transportation, it's true sometimes it won't cost that much, but I think the voucher, the transportation voucher is up to like $600 per kid if they need to get privately transported. It is a small part, but it's just one more thing that most people don't know about. In terms of the issue of poor teachers or teachers who are struggling or ineffective, that's a serious issue. I think it's a serious issue in every profession, and there has been, you know, the common thought is, well, teacher unions always protect those teachers. I think in the past, sometimes that has occurred, and that's shouldn't happen. But the way to solve that issue is not through changing the layoff procedure. The way to solve it is have programs that help teachers, and if they don't get enough help, and if they don't stand up to and improve the way they should, then they should be counseled out of teaching. And our union, the Milwaukee Teachers Education Association, has been a leader in that in the last 8 years. We have a program called the TEAM program where teachers can be referred. They're helped for 6 months. If they don't make the grade, they're exited. And we have exited with kindness. They, you know, get some job counseling and so on and so forth. Dozens and dozens of teachers, and we've also improved hundreds of teachers because they see they have to improve or else they're about to be encouraged to leave. They'll be fired. I wish our government would support more programs like that because that's the way to really help improve the quality of teaching. We have a program like that. I encourage people to check that out in Milwaukee, but we need more of those.
Thanks, Dan. Peter in Baraboo. Hi.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking the call. I am a new elected board member to the Baraboo school system. I am in total agreement with what Bob has presented. Anyone who really looks at the research and digs through the facts recognize that what this bill and what Walker is attempting to do is strangle the revenue flow to public education in order to fulfill some ideological positions. I participated in the Wisconsin Association of School Board meeting last week. Roughly 200 school board members, superintendents, district administrators, et cetera, were participating. And most of the speakers indicated that in the past, what the Wisconsin Association of School Boards had suggested would be one thing. But however, today, because of this unusual situation, they were unable to recommend some of the more standard educationally oriented recommendations that they might. After listening that to that disclaimer for several hours, I finally raised my hand and addressed the group and asked whether they understood, these school board members and these district administrators, that what was being said was we are dealing with a fundamental anomaly, and that if this is allowed to stand, there will be no need for school board members. Yep. There will be no need for district administrators. There will be no need for public education, because the entire thrust of this bill is to take public education, privatize it, as people have said, but more than that, to destroy what has built the foundation of our nation, an informed citizenship.
Right.
All right.
That has equal rights across the board.
Let's get a response, Bob.
I agree. I think public education run by Democratic elected school boards who are elected by the citizenry are the way to continue our democratic tradition. I mean, and we can, through that, we have accountability in terms of testing, in terms of what the curriculum is. One at the recent assembly hearing, one of the school leaders said that their school teaches creationism. And that is something that locally elected school boards should decide with their citizens, not privatized school administrators.
One more phone call for you, and then we change guests. Pete in Milwaukee, hi.
Hello, Pete Peterson from Milwaukee, correct. I just wanted to speak in favor of that not paying the school voucher program. Diane Ravitch, who was the Undersecretary of Education in the Bush administration, was formerly in favor of the voucher system and now has come out against it. Her book, The Death and Life of the American School System, points that out very clearly and has done major research in that area, especially in the test scores and so forth.
Right. There are national, somebody like Diane Ravitch, who is a conservative, has been, I think, is a strong voice. I encourage people to read her writings on the voucher program. She is a strong defender of public education. She's critical and wants us to improve, as I hope most of us do, but she knows that this is not the path to go down.
Considering the fact that the Republicans, as you well know, have complete control in the state of Wisconsin, I would think that it's not a question of an expansion of voucher. It's a question of how much voucher will expand.
I think that's true, and I think especially in those districts where there's recall races going on, I hope that people speak strongly to their Republican senators and say, okay, are you supporting public schools? Are you supporting a system that's accountable, that is subjected to open meeting, open record laws, that has due process and constitutional rights for students, or are you supporting a privatized system that has none of those rights for students or parents or public accountability? And furthermore, are you, you know, at a time of budget shortfall, are you just giving a carte blanche check to this program when art teachers, music teachers, physical education teachers are being cut from our public schools? I think if the populace speaks out, especially to those Republicans who are under threat of recall, we might see at least some glimmer of reason in these deliberations.
Thank you, Bob. Bob Peterson, our guest, the first half of the show, fifth grade teacher at La Escuela Fraterna in Milwaukee. He is founder of Rethinking Schools and the newly elected president of the Milwaukee Teacher Education Association. Jim Bender is joining us now. Jim is vice president of governmental affairs for School Choice Wisconsin. He's formerly of Speaker Jeff Fitzgerald's office, and he has years of legislative experience that he developed during 19 years in both the public and private sectors. He is working predominantly in Madison and is presenting School Choice Wisconsin before the legislative and executive branches. And we will continue our phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email address, I'm sorry, we just haven't had time to get to many of those, but we will get to some this half hour, talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. Jim, thank you very much for being with us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
What do you see as fundamental problems with public education in Wisconsin that would have you desire an expansion of the voucher program? What can voucher do better than public education?
Well, I think I'd have to mirror actually Governor Walker here, because I think the question's the wrong question. This isn't a comparison between private school and public school and charter school. The question isn't what's wrong with education. I mean, not that there is anything wrong with it, but I think to move forward and to make progress for the students and the kids in the state of Wisconsin, you have to ask what is right with education and how do we replicate it? And, I've been trying to keep notes here for the first half an hour of the program, and I think the thing that jumps out at me the most is heard a lot of things about state funding, the word system, school boards, money taken from, things like that. For being on the radio for a half an hour, I just never heard what's going right, what is in the best interest of the students, not so much what's in the best interest of the system. And I think the conversation needs to change. I understand we're in, kind of a tornado of political firestorms here with recalls and recounts and special elections and everything else and collective bargaining and all that. But I think in order to move the state forward on an educational basis, you have to change the conversation. And the conversation needs to be much more about what schools are doing right and how can we replicate it. I think in the city of Milwaukee, there are three distinct delivery systems of education. There's the choice program, there's charter schools, and there's the public system. And, roughly 80% of the kids are still in MPS, 20% of the kids are in choice, and there's going to be a growing number because I believe there's going to be increased authorizers for charter schools. But instead of, creating these three silos and pointing arrows about what's good and what's bad about all of them, we need to be looking at that top sector of all of them. What are the best public schools doing? What are the best charter schools doing? And what are the best choice schools doing? Once we start to identify that, and that's where we center our conversation, then we say, okay, the top tier of all three of those, the best things that they're doing, let's start to replicate those. Because in the end, it's not about preserving a charter system. It's not about preserving an MPS system. It's not about preserving a choice system. It's about making opportunities for the children of Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin, giving them the best opportunities for them to succeed. And so I think we need to shift a little bit here. I mean, I can go over the litany of things that he said that were, inaccurate or slanted, but in all reality, all you're doing is picking around the edges, and we need to start focusing on what's right.
Well, let's start with this issue, which I find troublesome about voucher schools. This idea that public schools open the door and come on in. If you're disabled, if you're a troubled person who has a troubled background, you're still educated. It's open to everybody. It's democratic. Come on in. From what I've been hearing from teachers and from people who are concerned about this expansion is that these schools simply don't have to open their doors to everybody. The disabled schools, disabled students don't have a right to go to those schools, that troubled students may indeed be sent back to public schools. It doesn't seem to be very democratic.
Well, nothing could be further from the truth. in Wisconsin, if choice schools are actually doing this, one, you would have specific examples of it happening. And by statute, they're prohibited from doing it. But beyond that, when you talk to a man that I've met recently, Pastor O.C. Tatum at Jared C. Bruce Academy, I've had some time to sit down and talk with him. And, you know, when you're talking about the schools, the Hope Schools, Eastbrook Academy, St. Marcus, St. Anthony's on the south side, the mission of these schools is a positive one. The mission of these schools is to provide the best education they can in a safe learning environment and to provide all the skills and all the tools necessary to try to improve these kids' lives. Nothing about their mission statements and nothing about the way that they run their schools is to turn kids away. In fact, their mission is to accept everybody that they can. The numbers of special ed students, there's a lot of statistics that are thrown out about that. And again, like any data set, the data that goes into it is, if it's not good data going in, you're not going to get good data going out. Private schools simply do not categorize their students the same way that MPS schools do. So when you have students that have different learning disabilities that may be minor or not reaching certain levels, certain stratosphere of quote-unquote labels in the public sector, these students, for a number of reasons, there are times that parents don't want to have their kids labeled. They don't want to have them in special ed. They'd rather have them in this particular school for the reasons that the parents think are best. And, you know, the private schools that are in the choice program, you know, are servicing those kids to the best of their ability. And the idea that they're sitting back and kicking students out because they're not going to be the best learners, they're not going to, you know, test the best, and they're not going to, you know, be the easy ones or the cheap ones to educate, it's just so far from the truth. But it's an easy talking point. You know, when opponents of the program, you know, get on shows like this, they start quoting things where 19% of MPS students are MPS and 1.5% of special needs kids, you know, in private schools. One, I just, the numbers for the MPCP program are inaccurate. And two, it's just not the mission of the schools that are in there. That's not the goal of those schools.
So you're telling me that it is against the law for these schools to not accept students who have either physical or severe emotional disabilities, and it is against the law to dismiss those students from these facilities and return them to public schools.
Well, I know, like MPS schools, if you have some, I mean, they have the ability to remove students from schools, as all schools do, but it's not because, you know, they're scoring low on tests. They're not going to, you know, remove a kid from a school because they're not performing well. You know, if you bring a gun to school, if you do something that's, you know, you can get expelled, certainly. But one that's, again, it's not the mission of the people that are running these schools. Their desire is to help their kids, to provide an environment to help the most at-risk kids. That's why a lot of these schools are run, and they're run in the neighborhoods that they're run in. If a choice school, when they enter the program, well, they will allocate a certain number of seats that are going to be made available for the upcoming school year. So if they say, out of our, you know, in this one class, we'll have 50 seats available. If 50 students apply for those 50 seats, all 50 are in. Now, if 75 apply, there's a random lottery that's set up by DPI to choose who comes in and who doesn't. There is no cherry picking of students. And it is, again, I just keep going back to, you know, visiting these schools and talking with the administrators. Their mission statement is just 180 degrees in the other direction. They're inclusive for a reason. This is why they're running their schools.
Tell me what it is, and I must tell you up front that I'm trained as a public school teacher. All our kids went to MPS schools. We had it was a wonderful experience for them. It's molded them as human beings, and I've spent a lot of time volunteering in MPS schools, and I'm trained to be a high school English teacher. I don't see what it is that we're offering students in these voucher schools that's a whole lot better for the students. If we have great teachers in public school and we're taking in the mix of everybody, and we look after their needs and we're challenging them, why not expand on what we've had in this country for a long period of time? It hasn't hurt us, really.
Well, again, I don't want this to be a you know, this isn't a anti-MPS program. I mean, but the reality is, when you ask, and we did, we asked 600 people all across Milwaukee of different age groups, ethnic diversity, everything. A significant majority, and this is of this year, March of this year, a significant majority favor what's happening in the Milwaukee Parental Choice Program. 71% of those with school-aged children support what's happening in the Milwaukee Parental Choice Program. I mean, so the people of Milwaukee, when are asked, what do you think of the choice program? What do you think about its expansion? They are in favor of that.
But I'm asking you, why do we need it? Why are those schools serving students better? What's it about voucher that serves their needs better?
Well, you know, I guess that comes down to the parents. When you provide educational opportunities, you know, a school like Eastbrook Academy that is scoring, you know, very high on their test scores, there's a very good likelihood that coming out of that school and moving ahead into K-12 and into college, that you're going to be successful. You know, even Bob Peterson referred to it. The latest demonstration project, when they followed kids from 9th through 12th grade that stayed in the choice program, they graduated at a rate of 94%, and I believe more than 50% went on to college. So, I mean, those are solid results that parents are comfortable with, but there's much more to that. I mean, I have three children. They go to public school because the public school by me is a great school, and I support that. It's not an anti-public school sentiment. But it's not just test scores. It's not just graduation rates. You know, students, there's discipline. There's safety factors. There's, you know, different cultural things that go along with what parents think is best for their kids. You have a particular mindset, and I think it's wonderful that you have it. I mean, we live in the freest country of the world, and I think that's a great thing for people to have. But I know this may come as a shock to you. There's thousands of people in the city of Milwaukee that have a vastly different view of the world than you do. And while you think that public schools, the foundation, the system as it's set up, a government monopoly on schools is the best way to go, and I don't have any problem with that, there are other people that just view the world differently. But they're taxpayers as well, and they have students, and they have children. And when they are sitting down at the table and thinking, what's best for my child? What do I want for my child? What's the best to get them to succeed? I don't think it's my spot. I don't think it's your spot. I don't think it's anybody else to say that what they're choosing for their child is necessarily wrong. Whether that be in public school or private school or charter school, when parents are given the opportunities to put their children in a situation that they think is best for them, who are we to question that?
Yeah, but we as members of this democracy have to make sure that those schools are good schools, that they have some standards, that they have good teachers.
I don't have any problem with that. I don't disagree with that.
There have been a lot of voucher schools in Milwaukee that have been fly-by-night operations, and they've gone out of business.
That is exactly the point, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that's exactly how the system is supposed to work. Since its inception, the voucher program has kicked out or removed 41 low-performing schools. That is exactly how the system will work. And in fact, more than 100 schools have been kept out of the program with a lot of the accountability measures that have been put in. And I think if the public school system worked on exactly that same level, and again, we started to focus on these three tiers, and you start to focus your energy, your time, and your resources on those highest performing schools, whether they be public, whether they be private, whether they be charter. Again, I go back to that. That's the focus. But in the public sector, removing a bad teacher, getting a bad underperforming school out of the system is almost impossible. And that doesn't help the students. That might help the system. It might pay legacy costs. It might do well to fund pensions for retired teachers. All that stuff may be true, but the $2,000 per student that MPS is paying for retired teachers to fund their legacy cost, that doesn't help educate a child. That's not money in the classroom. So we got to get away, I believe, from focusing on what's best for the system of education, and how about we start focusing on what's best for the students in education?
Let's go to phone calls. 800-486-8655 is our number. June in Fort Atkinson. Hi.
Hi. I think there's a question here, the separation of church and state. We send our children to a private religious school for a while, but we paid for it. Why should taxpayers pay for private schools? I really believe the agenda of this Walker administration is to destroy public education.
Jim.
Well, I don't speak on behalf of the Walker administration. And again, the Milwaukee Parental Choice Program has been around for 20 years, long before Scott Walker was governor. The original setup and the original legislation that came through was clearly to give students in Milwaukee an option, because the Milwaukee public school system, at its inception of the Milwaukee Parental Choice Program, had some serious problems. Some of those problems have been corrected. Some of those problems have been improved. But even at the public hearing for this bill, a woman got up to testify against the expansion of the programs. And, you know, they asked what she did for a living. And she said, well, I'm on a grant from the federal government. I'm a social worker, and I work I have a grant to work on the 9 worst schools in the state of Wisconsin. And Representative Sinicki on the committee asked her a follow-up question about, well, this, we're talking about the Milwaukee program. And the woman said, well, yes, the 9 worst public schools in the state of Wisconsin are all in Milwaukee. So that's where her program was. So there is a system here where the contract that the society has made with students to say, we'll provide you a good school, if that's based on geography and you have a parent sitting in, you know, whatever block it is, and the school that they're going to be assigned to is one that isn't safe, that isn't providing good results, and they don't have the financial means with which to, you know, send their kids to a private school, then that was at the inception of the program. That was the motivation. It wasn't that we need to direct, you know, dollars in any particular way. It's that that promise that we made to provide good quality schools across the board wasn't being met. And there were some private schools that were meeting that qualification. So that's the inception of the program. I think it has grown and improved steadily since then. But it is not a question, you know, and the Supreme Court has certainly ruled on this. As long as the parents are directing where the money is going, and it's not the government forcing the money to go in a particular way, or, you know, it's the parents and the students that receive the benefit, the private schools are the service provider, but it's still the parents that are choosing where the money goes. There's not a constitutional issue.
What about the issue of parental income? Is it your belief that this program should be open to people of all income levels now? Is it moving in that direction?
Well, certainly in Governor Walker's budget, he put a phase in, which the way it's structured would be about a 12-year phase in, because it's only people that are either new to the choice system or transferring from MPS in. Anybody that's currently paying at a choice school would not be eligible for any increase in the income level, whether that's all parents or it's a, you know, a different set level. The phase-in is still there. I think bringing the middle class into the program will make a dramatic improvement on a number of reasons. Currently, the admission process for getting into the program is unlike any other. I mean, to walk into a charter school, you got to tell where you live and you apply and you get in. MPS, you prove your residency, you're there. To get into a Milwaukee Parental Choice Program, of course, you have to go through a myriad of income eligibility paperwork, tax forms, all sorts of things, household income that DPI administers, which is a bureaucratic nightmare. That's one part of it. The other part of it is bringing the middle class into Milwaukee Parental Choice Program will have a dramatic effect. When you talk to the firefighters, when you talk to the police union, you know, they have a bill in front of the legislature now on residency requirements. Well, one of the main reasons, if not the main reason, that their members don't want to reside in Milwaukee is because of education. They just, whether it's perception or reality, you know, there are members of those unions, there are people across middle class, nurses, the whole spectrum, that going to Milwaukee Public Schools is not a first option. They can, you know, like what happens often, and John Norquist, of course, was very eloquent in this in a letter to the Wall Street Journal, and he's strongly believed from the inception of the program that when you have a system where you have, you know, middle class families, when they start getting school age kids, they have options. They can either send their kids to MPS or they can move out of the city and send their kids to a public school that they're more comfortable with. Well, how about a third option? Let those parents stay in Milwaukee and choose an exceptional educational option that is of their choosing in the Milwaukee Channel Parental Choice Program. That would encourage people to stay. It would encourage people to move to Milwaukee. It would open up all sorts of doors for the middle class in Milwaukee, which, as we all know, if Milwaukee is struggling, Wisconsin is struggling. And when we build up Milwaukee, and it's particularly Milwaukee's middle class, I think it's not just good for Milwaukee. I think it's good for the entire state.
We take more phone calls in a moment. Our guest this half hour is Jim Bender. He's Vice President of Governmental Affairs for School Choice Wisconsin. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. We have many emails. I'll get to a couple of those when we return. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Monday at 9 o'clock, it's, as always, All Things Political. And this coming Monday, we'll be discussing domestic news with Matt Bai from the New York Times. And we'll also look at the latest from overseas and U.S. foreign policy with Brett Stevens, who's editorial page editor and writer of the Global View column for the Wall Street Journal. Let's take the email, at least. We're just flooded with response to this program, so I'm sorry, everybody, we can't get to everything. Email from Julie in Fountain City. What I don't understand is if you admit there's a problem at someone's local school, you offer them a voucher for a school that you have admitted may only have 50 spots, leaving all the other kids to stay at an underperforming and unsafe school. Why not take the time to see a problem and fix it?
I think we are, which is why we're taking the enrollment cap off of the choice program. And we're going to let the schools expand and make investments in these high-performing schools without an enrollment cap. And hopefully by increasing the income limits and expanding to Milwaukee County, you will be creating many more seats. And that has been kind of the regulator of the system now is you know, the growth in the program is dictated by how many seats are available. There is far more demand than the supply right now, and it comes down to how many seats are available. And by taking the cap off and letting schools make some long-range plans on what they want to do, where they're not going to hit up against a cap, I think that's very good for the program, very good for the system, because it's going to remove that problem of only having 50 seats. Now, at the high school level, to be sure, you know, $6,442 is insufficient to educate, and the vast majority, if not all of these high schools are, you know, fundraising to offset, to provide more dollars in order to provide a quality education, because that's part of their mission. I mean, that's the main point here, is that these schools are their goal is to provide the best education possible. And so even though they are not receiving enough money in voucher payment, they're still educating these kids and going out and fundraising to offset those costs in order to provide these types of opportunities for the kids.
An email from Judith in Pulaski. Why would Governor Walker propose an increase in voucher school funding when we are supposedly broke? Funding has been cut in public schools. I also wonder about the availability of the voucher schools. How will an inner city child get to a voucher school miles away?
Well, there are voucher schools sprinkled all over the city of Milwaukee. And again, those are individual choices that parents get to make. Location, where they are, that factors into their decision on what schools they want to have. I believe that, you know, there's more than 100 schools around Milwaukee right now that are voluntarily part of the Milwaukee Parental Choice Program. But as for the funding, I mean, this idea that he's increasing money on the choice program, yes, there's going to be a little bit of growth, but at the end of the day, you know, even Bob Peterson said this is bad for the state budget. It's actually just the opposite. It's good for the state budget. The bigger the Milwaukee Parental Choice Program is, the less cost it is for the state budget. When it costs $15,000 roughly to educate a child in MPS, and it costs $6,400 to educate a kid in the choice program, not only do state taxpayers save money, but each individual property taxpayer in the city of Milwaukee spends $1,000 less for a choice program child than a student in MPS. So the idea that this is, while there's more money going there, it's because you're educating kids, you're increasing the number of kids in the program, and it costs less to educate each one of those children than it does to have them in MPS for a wide variety of reasons. But at the end of the day, it is, you know, it's good for the state budget. The bigger the program, the less money per child it does to educate, and it's good for the state budget, especially outstate. I mean, this has been brought up numerous times. And if you look at, you know, there are people saying we should wipe the program away. Well, the reality of wiping the program away, let's look at Stevens Point. If you eliminated the Milwaukee Parental Choice Program, that would actually cost the Stevens Point School District $1.8 million next year. It would cost the Appleton School District $3 million next year. It would cost Beaver Dam School District $737,000 to eliminate the Milwaukee Parental Choice Program. because, and just like the funding flaw that they're talking about, how it, you know, they should be able to count the kids, and we're kind of getting in the weeds here on policy, but at the end of the day, Milwaukee is asking for more money to fix the funding flaw. Well, all of that money comes from every other school district in the state. There's a separate funding line for the Milwaukee Parental Choice Program, and it's offset by the lending levy that MPS has. It doesn't cost MPS schools any more money. It doesn't take money out of the classroom for MPS. It's a different source of revenue that's not counted under the levy limit, the amount that they do for the Milwaukee Channel Price Program. So this idea that we're spending money on choice and we're taking it away from other school districts is just factually incorrect.
Jim, thanks for your participation. We are out of time at this point. Jim is Vice President of Governmental Affairs for School Choice Wisconsin. We also thank Bob Peterson, fifth grade teacher at La Escuela Fratini in Milwaukee, new president of the Milwaukee Teachers Education Association. I'm sorry, everybody. We just didn't have time, and this is education is, as you know, near and dear to my heart, and we'll do something more on this in the weeks ahead so we don't leave feeling there was so much more to say. Because there is. There's so much more to say. News is coming up. Thanks to Chrissy Pease for producing this hour and for on-air production as well. I'm Kathleen Dunn.